right? So Lent is the period of time that starts with Ash Wednesday. It goes for 40 days, not counting the Sundays, until the Saturday before Easter. You don't count Sunday because they're considered mini Easters. So it's that 40-day period. And people approach Lent from a lot of different ways, and some people don't approach Lent at all. But in all of that, what we find is when you talk about Lent, when you think about Lent, there's a lot of judgment. There's a lot of judgment of the participant. There's a lot of self-judgment. The church judges. God judges, we're told. There's a lot of judgment involved, and fear can come up from that. And so there's even judgment on the part of people who don't participate in Lent. I learned that real early. I was a kid in school, and I had never heard of Lent. And one of my friends said, I've given up chocolate for Lent. And I was like, huh? Well, what's that all about? He said, well, I can't eat chocolate until Easter, and I'm doing it for Jesus. Okay? And I had never heard of this. And I thought, oh, my God, my family didn't get the memo. So I went home, and I said to my mother, what are we giving up for Lent? And she got this look that was a mix of sort of horror and indignation. And she looked at me and she said, oh, that's a Catholic thing. We don't do that, right? So there's even judgment on the outside looking in when you think about Lent. Will you pray with me? Mother, Father, God, we thank you for this place. We thank you for each other. This is a place, God, that you have provided us, that we come and we can feel connected. And we'd like to ask you, God, to join us in that. We come here to connect with you, and we ask that you be present with us, be among us, be around us, be in us, and help us to connect with you and grow with you. And God, I ask you that you allow my words and my thoughts to help with that connection so that when we leave here today, we know we have been in your presence. Thank you, God, in all your names that are holy. Amen. So Lent comes from this Anglo-Saxon word, luncheon, which means spring. And the liturgical color for Lent is green. Now, I didn't have a green stole. So, as I was going through the Minneapolis airport this week, I saw this little number, and I thought, well, perhaps this would work. So what do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, is that all right? Yeah, good. All right. And so here's kind of the history of Lent. Lent was started by the church at the end of the 4th century, and they had already changed Passover, the Jewish holiday, to Easter, and now what they did was they took this pagan holiday, which was a festival to the goddess Tammuz, that was a 40-day festival where every other day, one day was joyful, the next day was sorrowful, joyful, sorrowful, joyful, sorrowful. And this was this festival to this goddess. And so the church said, well, let's convert that, and so they moved it to just before Easter and turned it to Lent. And they thought of Lent as being this spiritual experience of going into self-reflection and giving something up, fasting and going into self-reflection to look at our sins, which was an old Jewish tradition. There's an old Jewish tradition to separate from your life for a period of time and go into meditation, looking at how you can improve yourself and how you can grow. So they borrowed from this Jewish tradition to create Lent. And they borrowed from this pagan tradition to create the period of time. Now, Lent starts with Ash Wednesday. And the use of ashes, again, another Jewish tradition of supplication, of stating that you are sinful. Here's how it worked. If things were really not going your way, and if it looked like life was really just kicking you around, you would put ashes on, and you would admit by putting on the ashes that you were sinful. This must be why this was happening to you. And so the idea of coming up from the ashes, coming out of the ashes, was that you would purify yourself and then be able to cleanse yourself of the ashes, and that you would be in God's favor. And so that's where the idea of ashes came from. And so when we allow ourselves to be marked by ashes on Ash Wednesday, we're actually stating to the world, I'm a sinner, all right? And I'm going to just do an aside, because this morning I saw a picture on Facebook, and it really, really hit me. It was a picture of two women outside of the school in Florida. And I don't know if they were mothers, but they were certainly sobbing and crying, you could tell from this picture. And the one had this big, big cross on her head where she had been to church and had had the ashes applied. And I just said, I just thought how interesting that what that says in that picture. Not that I gave it meaning, it just was interesting that there it was, right in the middle of the picture. So going on and looking at Lent again, Lent is 40 days, not counting Sunday. All right. I think that's kind of weird. You know, I wonder, do you get Sundays off? In other words, if you've given something up, do you get to? Anyhow. And it's for 40 days. And again, this is another Jewish tradition, because 40 is a very important number in the Old Testament. You know, the flood, Noah and the Ark, the flood lasted 40 days and 40 nights. The Jewish people wandered the wilderness for 40 years. Moses, when he went up on the mountain, was on the mountain for 40 days before the Ten Commandments were handed to him. Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days. This number 40 was, again, another Jewish tradition that they incorporated into a Christian ritual. And we look at Lent as being sort of representative of the 40 days that Jesus went into the wilderness. Now, understand, what he did was he went into the wilderness to fast and to reflect a typical Jewish symbolic spiritual activity. So Lent kind of borrowed from everybody else, and then the Christians said, well, this is ours. This is Lent, all right? So those are the things that Lent are. But I want you to also remember, the disciples never heard of Lent, okay? The early church never heard of Lent, all right? The Bible does not talk about Lent. So Lent is one of those things that has been created and really kind of crammed down our throats that doesn't really have a basis from Jesus, a basis in Christianity. Its basis comes from many, many other traditions. Now, people approach Lent from a lot of different ways. You know, a lot of different levels that people approach Lent from. There's the simplistic one. I'm going to give up something I like. Chocolate, candy, coffee. Oh, no. Not coffee. And it's sort of this idea of, yeah, I'm going to give it up because it's supposed to remind me that Jesus suffered for us. A little bit of judgment there, right? But not a lot of judgment. That's the easy one. I'm going to give up something I like. Then there's the next level of folks who say, well, okay, if we're supposed to give up something, and this is supposed to improve us, and we're supposed to look at our sinful ways, then why don't I just give up a bad habit? So some folks look at giving up drinking or cigarettes or overeating or cursing. And so that's kind of the next level of sacrifice for Lent. Then there's a third level, which looks not at behavior, but looks at characteristics and how we can change our characteristics. Pope Francis said, "Fasting from hurting, do you want to fast this Lent? Fast from hurting words to say kind words. Fast from sadness to be filled with gratitude. Fast from anger to be filled with patience. Fast from pessimism to be filled with hope. Fast from worry and have trust in God. Fast from complaints and contemplate simplicity. Fast from pressure and be prayerful. Fast from bitterness and you will fill your hearts with joy. Fast from selfishness and be compassionate to others. Fast from grudges, be reconciled. Fast from words and silence, and be silent so you can listen." The idea here is you have a lot of characteristics that aren't so good, another judgment, and so fasting some of those characteristics might be a way to cleanse yourself and be closer to God. And then there's the fourth level. And the fourth level is best represented by this. I love this, and I'm being sarcastic. The purpose of Lent is to provide purification by weaning men from their sin and selfishness through self-denial and prayer. This is really getting to the judgmental core of Lent. You are sinful. All right? So you might ask, so what's the point of all this? Why are we looking at all this? Well, I believe that spiritual practice is important in our lives. I believe very strongly in spiritual practice. I think that if you believe in a higher power, if you believe in a God, that you have to have some kind of practice on a pretty regular basis to stay connected with that higher power, with that God, and to bring that God into your life and allow that God to work through you if you have that belief. And so I believe we need to have spiritual practice. And I'm actually going to suggest to you that let's do Lent this year, but not that Lent. Because I think we missed the point of Lent. I gave you what it is, but I think we really missed the point. Lent is based on Jesus going into the wilderness for 40 days and his temptations. And I think we've misinterpreted the temptations. So guess what we're going to do? We're going to dig into that, aren't we? All right? So look at the readings today that we had today. Of course, we started with Mark. Don't you love Mark? Everything's to the point. Fast and furious. Okay, Jesus got baptized. Jesus came up out of the water. The voice came down. Jesus went in the wilderness. It just boom, 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 boom. And it gave us sort of the chronology of what happened. Let's slow it down a little bit. Where'd Kurt go? Well, let's take our time. There he is. Let's take our time with it. All right, so Jesus came to be baptized. What is this? This is a typical Jewish tradition. Anytime you were going to do a spiritual activity or go to the synagogue for a special activity, you had to be cleansed and you were baptized. This was saying that I am cleansing myself for this spiritual activity. Remember, Pastor's been telling us over the last 2 weeks that Jesus was in meditation about what kind of ministry he should have, whether he should build a big megachurch or whether he should be on the road, you know, and he decided to follow the path that God laid down for him. Jesus finally decided that he was going to be the person God created him to be his authentic self. And so he made that commitment, and then he had to go be cleansed in order to start that. So when he was cleansed, when he was baptized, and he came up out of the water, God spoke. God opened the heavens and said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." That isn't the way it's written this morning, but that's how I learned it. All right. And filled him with the Holy Spirit. Just an aside, you do know that John the Baptist was his second cousin, right? Yeah. So now Jesus is filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit drives him to go into the wilderness and do this customary Jewish tradition of fasting and going into prayer. And after he had done that, then he becomes tempted by the devil. He's victorious. He comes back. He finds out his cousin has been arrested. He knows this is the end for John, and that John was the only one preaching the new word, the good word. And so now Jesus knew this was a sign. It was time for him to start preaching. All right, that's the chronology. Let's look at the temptation. There are three schools of thought about how to interpret this temptation that Jesus went under. The first one is very superficial. Now remember, here are the temptations. Change the stones into bread. Jump off the church, you'll be saved. And if you renounce all of this, I'll give you all this wealth. All right? Now, there's a very superficial level of belief and understanding of this that says simply, Satan was trying to get Jesus to prove that he was the Son of God. All right? If you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you're the Son of God, jump down off this church, you won't be harmed. If you're the Son of God, I can promise you that if you renounce all of that, I'll make you even greater. Look at all the wealth I can offer you. That's a pretty simplistic approach, because think about this. God just said, "He's my son." He announced it to the world, all right? Satan wouldn't be there if this wasn't the Son of God. Jesus is fully, he's just been baptized to do the work of the Son of God. This really doesn't make any sense, does it? That Satan's testing whether he believes he's the Son of God or not. That really doesn't work, all right? So there's this second school of folks, and they say that what Satan was really doing was testing not if Jesus believed he was the Son of God, they accepted that, but he was testing how much can you depend on God when you're out there doing this ministry. And so the idea is sort of, okay, so you're hungry. Do you think God's going to let you turn these stones into bread? Do you think he's really going to be there? He's really got your back? He's going to let you do that? You know, if you jump off this church, this synagogue, do you, I know what it's written, but do you really think God's going to tell the angels to catch you and bring you up? Do you really think God's got your back here? And if I were to tempt you with all of this and you were to renounce and accept all of this, what do you think God would do? How would he treat you if you did that? That's what they believe this is, all right? Well, that makes some sense if you think about it, but I think, again, this is pretty superficial because God's right there. Remember, God filled Jesus with the Holy Spirit and drove him out to the wilderness. Jesus is filled with the Holy Spirit right now. God is present in this discussion. He's got Jesus's back. He's right there. All right, so again, you kind of have to go, doesn't really make sense. So here's the third level. The third group of people says that what Satan was doing was getting Jesus to question himself. Really? You really think you can pull this off? I mean, I know you're the Son of God and all, but you're also human. Do you really think you can do this? I mean, think about it. Life on the road is not easy. Preaching from town to town is not easy, and some people want to drive you out, and some people will accept you, and you got to eat whatever people offer you. It's not easy. Don't you think that at some point you're going to crumble and want to have a home, a place to live, a place where people care for you, a place where you can always have bread to eat? So maybe you should just say, yeah, it was a nice try. Turn these stones into bread, satisfy your hunger, and just say, okay, I gave it a shot, but didn't work for me, all right? Or do you really think this is going to work? In other words, yeah, you're not going to get hurt. We know that. We know God's going to protect you and you're not going to get hurt. You could jump off this church and angels will lift you up. We got that. We know that. But you do know how this story ends, don't you? You do know where this is going, don't you? When you're standing there facing the end of your ministry and there won't be any angels to lift you up, can you face that? Can you really do this? Can you face this ministry? And the third example of, you know, are you sure that as you go through this ministry, you're not going to be tempted? You're not going to be tempted by money? Because you could really start a church, a mega church, have people give you lots of money, buy a jet. You know, you could really take all of this wealth. You could be a carpenter and earn more than you're going to make as a minister, for sure. All right? Are you sure you're not going to give up? Can you really see this through? I like this interpretation, and I think this is really the root of what Lent is all about. Because I'm going to turn it around to you and say, how does Satan tempt you? Does Satan tempt you with an all-you-can-eat buffet with all the bread you want? Does Satan tempt you with saying you're going to be physically secure for the rest of your life? Wouldn't that be nice in the lieu of what's happened this week? Has Satan said to you, I'm going to give you all the wealth? Or does Satan tempt you by saying, you really good enough? You really good enough? You sure about this? Don't you feel a little bit guilty that you're only thinking about yourself? Does Satan tempt you with fear? Does Satan tempt you by getting you to question yourself, doubt yourself, second guess yourself, judge yourself? How much have we done that? And particularly us, when we've struggled with how we want to live our lives. How do we want to present ourselves? We went through a whole period of, how are other people going to think about me if I do this? If I love who I want to love, what are people going to say? Can I really stand up to public ridicule if somebody calls me a name? What if I decide to change the way I present my gender? What if somebody were to laugh at me? What if my family were to disown me? Look at all these questions that we give ourselves, all these ways that we keep ourselves from being our authentic self. Satan tempts us, and I don't believe in an entity of Satan, but it's a nice name. Satan tempts us by getting us to not be the person God created us to be. Satan wins every time we question ourselves. And so I'm going to put it to you. Let's do Lent. Okay? Let's do Lent. But what we're going to fast, what we're going to give up, are the temptations. Let's, and I don't mean the singing group, let's give up, some of you may be old enough to remember them. Let's give up the self-questioning. Let's give up the fear. Let's give up everything that we do to ourselves, that we allow ourselves to do, that keeps us from being our true, authentic self. You with me in this? Yeah, I'm getting a lukewarm kind of response. I kind of expected that. All right, but think about it. What would your life be like if you were your authentic self, if you didn't stop yourself by questioning and self-doubt and allowing others to somehow put a judgment on us so that we cannot be who God created us to be? Now, I know what you're thinking. You're sitting there saying, okay, Dwayne, this sounds great. Sure, you can tell me, let's have Lent, let's give up all these negative things, but you haven't told me how. You want to know how? You willing to try? All right, sit up. Sit up in your chair. I'm going to ask you to take 3 breaths, and here's how we're going to take them. I'm going to ask you to fill your belly, then your chest, and then blow it out. So it looks like this. I'm going to ask you to do that 3 times, okay? Ready? Number 2. And 3. Now, if you're comfortable, close your eyes. And I want you to start thinking about the love of God filling you. All right? I want you to kind of see a beam of light maybe coming down from God, white, gold, whatever works for you, coming down through your head into your heart. Start feeling the love of God in your heart, filling your heart. That light starting to glow out of your heart and expanding your heart. Feel it grow within your heart and expand within your chest. And every time you inhale, you strengthen it. You draw it even more into your heart to the point that your heart is just about as full as it can be. And now the light bursts out of your heart and starts to fill your body. See in your mind's eye your body filling with that light of God's love. Feel it filling your legs, your hips, your stomach, your chest, your arms, neck, head. Just see the light filling you. Feel the warmth of that. Feel it pushing against the inside of your skin. Take a deep breath and strengthen that feeling. And then let it burst through your skin. This love of God is bigger than you. Let it expand past you. Feel it expanding outside of you and creating a ball of love around you so that you are filled with and surrounded by the love of God. And each time you inhale, strengthen that. See it. Strengthen it, bask in it, and be there just for a moment. Inhale again and strengthen it again, and see yourself filled with the love of God, surrounded by the love of God. And as you stay there, I'm going to ask you to think about something. Where's the fear? Where's the doubt? Where's the self-judgment? Do it again. Inhale and strengthen it. Don't let it slip. Where's the worry? Where's the shame? You have let it go by filling yourself with the love of God. Just hold on to that as long as you can and feed it. But remember, you can do this anytime you want. Anytime you catch yourself being tempted. Anytime you question yourself, put yourself down, doubt yourself, fill yourself with the love of God. The more you practice it, the easier it is to do and the better it feels. You can do this anytime you want. You know, when we question ourselves and we look at ourselves, whether it's our lifestyle, whether it's how we present ourselves, all of those major things that we've faced in our life, we always used to think, what does God think of this? God thinks I'm sinning. You know, the Old Testament used to say, God is a God of vengeance. God is a jealous God. God is an angry God. God judges. God punishes. Jesus came to teach us that that's wrong, that God is a God of love. God only wants, according to Jesus, two things from us: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And I interpret that to mean love your neighbor and yourself. Take another deep breath and just hold on to that for another minute if you can. You know, in First John 4:16, we are told God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. You are abiding in God right now, and God is abiding in you right now. Can you feel that? You are as close to your authentic self as you have been in a while. You are closer to being the person God created than you have been for a while. Feel that. You can do this whenever you want. Amen? All right. So I challenge you, my brothers and sisters, I challenge you. Let's do Lent. Let's give it up. Let's let go of fear. Let's give up fear for Lent. All those ways that fear manifests for us. You know, the choir last week sang one of my favorite hymns. It's based on Psalm 27. God is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? God is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Fill yourself with the love of God for Lent. Then you get to decide what you want to do after that. But let me give you a little hint, a little mental health hint here. It takes 4 days to form a neural network. It takes 21 days to form a habit. If you can do this for 40 days, it becomes a habit. I challenge you, and I ask you to join me in Lent to let go of all that holds you back, all that tempts you to not be your authentic self. And I ask you to join with me for the next 40 days, filling yourself with the love of God so that you can become the person that God made you to be. So let it be.